This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Another beautiful day. It is Wednesday and just gorgeous out there. It's partly sunny right now, 68. It is going to get chilly tonight, low 49. Tomorrow, sunny skies, high of 69, and again dipping down to 49 as a low. And then rain on Friday. So the streak is not going to continue for too long, but at least another a beautiful sunny day ahead. Steve Cohen, he's a billionaire hedge fund trader. He ran a fund called SAC Capital, and he was at the center of really the biggest insider scandal in history. Well, now the Wall Street Journal reports just yesterday that he's set to raise $20 billion for a new hedge fund to open in 2018. Sheila Cole Hadkar is the author of a book about him, just happens to have written about him, brand new book called Black Edge, Inside Information, Dirty Money, and the Quest to Bring Down the Most Wanted Man on Wall Street. Sheila, it is great to have you on WILS.
It's nice to be here.
And you're actually in Michigan yourself right now, right?
I'm in Grand Rapids, which is lovely.
Yeah, what are you doing in Grand Rapids?
I'm here on a reporting trip for a New Yorker article.
Gotcha. I'm curious. Can you tell me a little bit what the article's about?
It's about manufacturing.
Okay.
That's all I can say.
Oh, gotcha.
Not about hedge funds.
Is it a good news story or a bad news? What kind of angle is it?
No, I think it will be good. It's going to be a little of both, bittersweet, probably.
Mm. So, okay, Sheila, let me ask you about Steve Cohen. What is he really all about, Steve Cohen?
Well, he really has only one interest in life, based on my extensive conversations with people who know him, and that is trading. I mean, he's literally miserable when the stock market is closed. He was sort of born to sit in front of his screens and trade stocks. Mm-hmm. And as you described, he was the target of this 7-year government investigation. The FBI went after him. They were flipping his employees. They were wiretapping him. They tried to bring charges against him. Ultimately, they were only able to charge his company rather than him with securities fraud. And he was barred from managing investors' money for 5 years. Right. And now in January, he will be free to restart a hedge fund making plans.
Do we know how wealthy he is?
He has at least $10 billion in his private family office, which invests his own money. Hmm. So he has continued trading his own money. But I think from sort of an ego perspective, it is just not the same as making money for, trading money that belongs to other people.
Is he a self-made man?
He is. He came from very middle-class roots. He grew up in a large family in Great Neck, Long Island. And he, unlike everyone else in his family, made a beeline for Wall Street. He knew early on that he wanted to be rich, and he accomplished his goal. I mean, he went to Wharton and spent several years at a small brokerage firm in Lower Manhattan called Gruntal. And then in 1992, he launched SAC Capital, which turned into one of the most successful hedge fund companies of all time.
So if he wasn't charged, is it clear if he did anything wrong himself?
Well, I can relay what I've heard from many, many sort of prosecutors and regulators and FBI agents I've spoken to about this, and even other hedge fund investors. There were so many people working for him who were implicated in insider trading. I mean, at least 8 were either charged or pled guilty. There are several more who were implicated somehow. Mm-hmm. That is a lot of people at one firm to get into trouble for something. A lot of companies, a lot of hedge funds go to a lot of efforts to keep their employees out of legal trouble, to make sure that they're not doing anything that's going to draw the attention of FBI agents.
Right.
So when you have that many people at one company doing the same thing wrong, it suggests that at a minimum there was not enough oversight of those people. There someone was perhaps looking the other way while they did this.
Do you think the government gave them a pass, essentially?
Well, there are people who feel that the government chickened out. They certainly had a lot of evidence implicating his firm. There's a scene I describe in my book in 2013 when his lawyers, he had a very high-priced team of defense lawyers. They went down to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan and made a presentation and tried to convince them not to charge Mr. Cohen. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, they made the argument, they pointed out that the government really didn't have a smoking gun connecting him to any of the illegal trading that was going on there. I mean, they didn't have any witness to testify against him. They didn't have a wiretap of him making an inside trade. So it would have been a challenging case for the government, and there certainly was a risk that they would have lost. Now, there are many people who believe that they should have charged him anyway, mm-hmm. but it would have been risky. It was not sort of a sure thing that they would win after a trial. So they didn't go for it.
Sheila Cole yep. Hatkar with us. Sheila Cole Hatkar, her brand new book is Black Edge, the story of Stephen Cohen. The book is Black Edge. Do you think this will end up being a movie, Sheila?
Many people have told me that they think it would be a good movie, so I'm crossing my fingers.
Hmm. Yeah, well, because I just saw the Madoff has that movie on HBO now, right?
You have money, power, ambition, corruption. It makes for a good movie or TV show, in my opinion.
Steve Cohen, yeah. I'm guessing he didn't want to talk to you then?
He did not. Not surprising, really.
Yeah. But can you give me just a sense of what exactly was going on in terms of the insider trading? What was actually happening there?
Well, I can certainly sketch out sort of the most obvious case that led to one of the biggest trials in this area in history. I mean, there was a portfolio manager working for Mr. Cohen. His name was Matthew Martoma. Very accomplished, kind of Ivy League guy. Could have had a really fine career doing almost anything he wanted. He chose to go into hedge funds because he wanted to make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And over the course of many months, he ended up, according to the government, corrupting a doctor who was involved in a drug trial of a very high-profile Alzheimer's drug. And this portfolio manager allegedly got access to the drug trial results a week before they became public. And in the sort of biotech stock trading world, that information is gold. Whether or not a particular hot drug is going to succeed or fail has a huge impact on a company's performance. And everyone trading that stock is dying to know, you know, is the stock going to go up or down? This news is going to have a huge effect on the stock price. This gentleman got the information early. You know, the government had a record of a phone call that he had with Steve Cohen on a Sunday morning after he allegedly viewed this whole presentation he wasn't supposed to see. And then over the next week, Cohen and the firm sold off almost $1 billion worth of stock in these drug companies. And then literally a week later, the results became public and they plummeted.
It showed that it didn't work, essentially. It wasn't effective.
That's it.
So
disappointing.
Sheila, did Steve Cohen, did he make his money from basically, I mean, was it this insider trading that is the reason why the firm succeeded?
Well, I mean, my personal opinion, having studied him very closely for several years, is that he was an extremely talented trader on his own merits. He really was. He had sort of a rare gift for managing risk, for recognizing movements in the market. I think he would have done really well, even if this activity had not been going on at his company. Mm-hmm. However, his personality was such that he was driven to win almost at all costs. He was very competitive, very prideful, and he structured his firm, SAC, in such a way that this kind of pushing the envelope behavior on the part of his traders was really incentivized. I mean, he was really offering enormous bonuses to people if they brought in good, like, profitable trading ideas. He was intolerant of any type of failure. Mm-hmm. And
that's part of trading, really. Did the clients of SAC, how did they make out when it was all over?
I'm assuming you mean the investors,
right? The investors,
right?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Well, ultimately, SAC did not end up losing money because they were so on the right side of so many trades. So although many of the investors had to kind of pull their money out under pressure, you know, at the height of the legal scrutiny of SAC, they did not lose money. I mean, I would argue that it tarnished their reputation, especially when you had pension funds, teachers' pension funds, endowment funds, associated with a company that was ultimately indicted. You know, that's not good for their reputation, but they did not lose any money.
Do you think you'll have any trouble raising this $20 billion for this new hedge fund?
Well, to clarify a bit, I mean, he has around $10 billion of his own money. So I think he's hoping to raise $9 to $10 billion. That's still a lot of money, obviously. I've spoken with investors and asked them, you know, would you put money with him again? And it's funny, if you ask people and you sort of say, well, you're anonymous, I won't print your name, you know, they will say yes. People are so kind of desperate. Investors, pension fund managers are so pressured to find returns in the market. It's so hard to find returns. They will kind of do almost anything. And I found it shocking, but many people reported to me that they would put money with him. Mm-hmm. And I think he will be able to raise money. And, you know, it's stunning on some level that he'd be able to do that. But, you know, in January, he can start.
Sheila, one last thing. I hope you're still there. Are you there?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, I'm here.
One last thing. Is he a good guy in your view, Steve Cohen?
There are many things about him that I really admire. I think he was a really smart businessman in the terms of sort of being a hedge fund manager. He really anticipated the way the hedge fund industry is going to kind of explode and change and become this really prominent force. He really adjusted his company in advance of things changing in the market. He's very clever, and I admire that about him. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I don't know that I would want to be married to him. I think it would be really difficult.
Hmm. But none of his employees were willing to testify against him or in any way indicate that he knew about what was the insider trading part of things, right?
Well, the FBI spent several years just working really hard to try and flip some employees, and they did manage to flip some lower-level people who cooperated. However, by the time they got kind of higher up the hierarchy and they reached some employees who were close to Cohen and who'd had sort of direct conversations with him about particular trades, those people would not flip. And it's quite remarkable. And one of them, Matthew Martoma, the one I described to you, mm-hmm. you know, the government had high hopes that he would turn, he would testify, he would be the key to their case against Cohen. Instead, Mr. Martoma chose to refuse to cooperate, and he is in jail right now. His case is on appeal, but he's serving a 9-year term. So he chose to go to jail rather than testify against his former boss.
Well, that's some real loyalty then, huh?
So, yes, indeed.
I wonder. Hopefully he has a job when he gets out, you know, something waiting for him. Sheila Kolhatkar, New Yorker staff writer, Sheila Kolhatkar, the book. This is a brand new book. The timing is fantastic. It's Black Edge, Inside Information, Dirty Money, and the Quest to Bring Down the Most Wanted Man on Wall Street. Black Edge, Sheila Kolhatkar. Sheila, great to have you on WILS. Thanks.
It was great to be here.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.